Today we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. A gift that God pours out daily, constantly, not only for the good of the church, but indeed for the good of the world. Today we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the first 11 verses, to hear as Paul writes to the church about the gifts of this Spirit. As we prepare to hear words of Scripture, let us ask for God's help. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, wild and free, come and blow your Spirit among us. Enliven the faith within us that we may live boldly, using the gifts you give, not for our glory, but for yours alone, so that all the world will know that Christ is Lord. Amen. Paul writes this to the church. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, healing by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For the Word of God among us, for the Word of God within us, for the Word of God in Scripture, thanks be to God. Today we celebrate God's gift of the Spirit. But I'm afraid that all too often on Sundays like this, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are more like children playing with a chemistry set about making TNT. We have no idea what we're talking about. Indeed, on this Sunday, instead of handing you a paper bulletin, it would have been better for the usher to give you a helmet and strap you into your pew. The Spirit is wild and free. The Spirit emboldens. And indeed, we Presbyterians have been guilty of not talking a lot about the Spirit. Frankly, probably because we're afraid of what the Spirit might push us to do, where the Spirit might call us to go. Truth of the matter is, if you read John Calvin's theological work, the Spirit is woven throughout his writings. He doesn't have one section on the Spirit because he understands that the Spirit intercedes and weaves and gives throughout the life of the church. There is no need for one section. The whole thing is Spirit-filled. Today we read from Paul's letter. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. There has been controversy in the church. Imagine that. controversy in the church. There has been controversy in the church, disagreement over who has the Spirit and who doesn't. Reminds me of the old chant, "We got Spirit, yes we do, we got Spirit, how about you?" And then at the end of that chant, of course, we get louder and louder by saying, "We've got more." That was the debate in the early church. One group was saying, "We have more of the Spirit than you do," and their evidence was because they spoke in tongues. Paul writes to the church to say, "Wait a minute, that's not how the Spirit works. The Spirit is poured out equally on all believers. And the Spirit manifests itself. It shows up in different ways in different people's lives, just as the Spirit chooses. Your gifts of the Spirit are different than mine. Not so you can brag about how good you do, or that you can think yourself lesser because you don't stand up here and talk freely to a group of people. That would scare some of you to death. But some of what you do scares me to death. But it's what God has made you good at. It is the gift that the Spirit chose to give you." Now, Paul has a list. Truthfully, he has three different lists. There's one in Romans, there's one in Corinthians, there's one in Ephesians. A list of the gifts of the Spirit. In this list, in 1 Corinthians, he talks about tongues and the interpretation of tongues. He talks about faith. He talks about healing. I don't think that Paul meant for this to be an all-inclusive list. I don't think he was trying to write down every single gift of the Spirit, that when he got to the end of this chapter, you would know everything you needed to know. These are the only gifts that the Spirit gives. I don't think that's what Paul intends here. Paul is giving some examples that the people can identify with. These are the kinds of gifts the Spirit gives. But did you notice that in this wide variety, this diversity of gifts that he lists, he says that the purpose of these gifts are for the common good? That your gifts that the Spirit chose to give you that are different than my gifts are for the common good. That indeed, if we had kept on reading and gone further into the letter, he then talks about the metaphor of the body, that we need a finger and a pinky toe and a nose and an ear and, yes, maybe even ear hair. That's part of it. Every piece is there for a reason, for the good of the whole body. So I wonder, play with me a little. What else, if we think about gifts from the Holy Spirit for the common good, gifts that God chooses to give, if we were to expand on Paul's list and fill in the dot, 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 that ellipse that I'm imagining is here, what might be on the list? In other words, what are some other gifts from the Spirit? What would you add? Compassion for the needy. Managing the kitchen for Logos. Musical ability. Did you notice that Paul left out the choir? Modern day preacher wouldn't do that, by the way. What else would be on that list? Those who visit in the prisons. To be humble. Finding compromise in the midst of conflict. That's a gift. Working and managing, organizing a food pantry. creativity. Artistic ability. Yeah, rain. Gosh, look at the beautiful flowers today. Or visual art. Some people have the gift of visioning, imagining what could be. Some people have the gift of following. Some people manage money well. Some people create wealth. Some people have the gift of hospitality. Some people have the gift of encouragement. Do you see what I mean? I mean, this list could really keep going. But of course, the question is always, preacher, that's nice and all, but what's my gift? How do we figure out, well, great, that the Spirit chooses to give each of His gifts. Okay, I'll believe you on that, preacher, but I really don't know what my gift is. How do we figure that out? We have a $10 word for that. It's called discernment. Let me break it down for you. Discernment. How do we discern our gifts? How do we figure out what it is that God has gifted us with, put into our lives? The first act of discernment, of course, is prayer. Quite simply, asking God, Lord, what is it? What gift have you put into my life? And then, of course, after you pray that prayer, the second act is always being attentive. Paying attention to what God may be showing you in interactions with others, in conversations you have at work, at home, at play, at rest. Or sometimes it's being attentive to the things that really fire you up, that really catch your eye, that really spark something within. And the third thing is to ask questions. Questions of yourself, but also ask questions of others around you. What is it? What do you think my gift is? Inviting them to join in the conversation, to be God's voice to you. When you look at me, what do you think God made me to do? What is it that I'm good at? So I've got a handout for you, and Joe, if you'll be my helper. And let's not forget the choir, of course. When it comes to discerning your gifts and what God has made you to do, what God is calling you to do, or maybe better said, what God is calling you to be, if there's more than enough, pass them to your neighbors. Will Mancini's written a book called Church Unique. There should be enough to pass them behind you. If there's not, I'll come back. In this book, Church Unique, he asks three questions. What are the unique needs and opportunities where God has placed you? Everybody get one? Maybe one more here, maybe. Yep. So the first question at the top of that circle, what are the unique needs and opportunities where God has placed you? So that's the first question to ask. And again, a question you can ask yourself, but a question you can ask those around you. Then a second question, if we go to the bottom left, what particular focus most energizes and animates you? That's what I said. What gets you fired up? What turns your wheel? What's that little place that when someone says it or does it or you read about it or see it on the news that it triggers something in you? And then the last question on this Venn diagram, what are the unique resources and capabilities that God brings together in you? What are the unique? Notice that word unique. What is it that is specific about who God made you to be? Not your neighbor, not your spouse, not your children. That God made you to be. Unique resources and capabilities that God brings together in you. And you see in a Venn diagram, if it's been a while since you've seen one of these, you'll see overlapping places. And the middle, I like to call it the sweet spot, where all three overlap, is where God is calling you to be at work in the world. Discerning your gifts, discerning God's calling. That spot in the middle, that's where you are made to be. And it's been my experience that when you're in that spot, when you're doing that thing, you discover new joy. Some of you were at men's breakfast at the beginning of May when the new chancellor at UNCP spoke. And he talked about he'd always heard about that job that when you go and you do it, you're not working anymore, but you're doing what you're made to do. And he said that that's where he is now. That's the sweet spot. So I give you this and invite you to join me in prayerfully discerning, who is it? Who is it that God is calling you to be? Where is that sweet spot in your life? And in what ways are you answering God's call? God gives us gifts. God, did you hear that? God chooses to. Did you hear that? God wants to give you a gift. And I believe God already has. The question is, are we living out that gift for the common good? What is your gift? To the glory of God. Amen.